How are you today? Yeah? Sorry? Good? Who went to Awakening Australia last weekend? Put your hand up real high so we can see. So there's a few of us, small contingent from the church. Wasn't it amazing? We had such an amazing time. But this is the thing, if you didn't go, because we are one, you get to reap the blessing of us going. Did you realize that? That's what happens when you're one body. You know, if I have a drink of water, the life, the nutrients, the minerals in that water goes through into every part of the body. So we've got to get this in our head that as a body, when one of us gets breakthrough, we all get breakthrough. When one of us is blessed, one of us taps into something God, we all get to receive that. We all get to see that and go, yeah, I want that too, God. I'm open to that as well. So you guys who went to Awakening, you bring in something back to this community that we need. Because the truth is that we need each other. We don't need each other for salvation. We know that. But we need each other here on this earth to fulfill the will of God and to see God's plan be accomplished here in this city. And I'm a little bit excited this morning. I don't know if you can tell or not. I'm trying to hold it in. But there's a couple of things on my heart I want to share with you guys today. And it's just so amazing, the Holy Spirit, how he moves, you know, just even the things that Terry Ann said before and Liz's communion, very much in line with what the Lord had spoken to me about. But I want us to start in Colossians chapter 1. It's one of my favorite books of the Bible, Colossians. And we're going to read, we will start, I think, from verse 3. It says this, Colossians chapter 1, verse 3. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all the saints. Because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you, as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you since the day you heard it and knew the grace of God in truth. So just stop there for a minute. We're going to read a couple of different portions here from Colossians chapter 1 this morning, but I just want to start here in this place. You know, it starts in a place of thanksgiving. Because when we see who God is, and we see what he's done, the natural response is thanksgiving. And we come to him this morning, we're praising him, we're worshiping him, but who knows that worship isn't just singing a song? Did you realize that? Jesus actually said that those who desire to worship the Father must worship him how? In spirit and in truth. So this last weekend, we were down in Melbourne, praise God, and that in itself is a miracle because Elise and I really wanted to go, but we didn't have the finances to go. And then a beloved brother at last minute sent us a message and didn't know the situation and wanted to pay for us and bless us. So praise Jesus, we got to go because it was wonderful. And it's so wonderful when you're there together with brothers and sisters from around the country, actually around the world, and you every few minutes you walk another 5 steps or 5 meters and then someone else, you recognize someone else, and it just felt like a family reunion. And it's so wonderful. I don't know exactly how many people were there, but I think it was just over 10,000 people. And if you've been to something like Hillsong before, you know, and you're in the big stadium and you're there with, you know, thousands of other Christians worshiping God, it's powerful. It is. But let me tell you something. The enemy isn't threatened by us just singing songs. If all we do is just gather together and sing songs, the enemy, he couldn't care less. See, Jesus said those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth, because God is a spirit and you communicate to him from your spirit to his spirit. And in truth, see, this is what it's all about. What does it mean to worship God in truth? See, the Bible says so clear that we've been called to walk in His righteousness and in His holiness. And the truth is that as we walk in His footsteps, as we walk our life out here on this planet, and we walk in holiness, in every day, in every situation, we say yes to Jesus and we say no to the course of this world. We say no to the things of this world that would try and steal our affection, try and steal our attention. When we fix our eyes on Him and we walk according to His truth and righteousness, that is what upsets the devil. That's what makes the enemy really frustrated. It says, Jesus said in, he says in two different places in Matthew and in Luke, He gives us a parable of the sower. I know we're all familiar with that. He talks about the word of God being sown in different places, in different people's lives, in different situations. And we know that when we read that passage, some of it bears fruit, like we just read in here in Colossians, the fruit that's spreading around the world. You just have to look at social media or look at what, you know, hear different testimonies and messages. God is doing amazing things around the world. The parable of the sower, it says that some seed fell on good soil, but other seed also fell on stony ground. Some fell among the thorns. Some of it bore fruit, but some of it didn't. The interesting thing is that there's no issue with the Word of God, is there? The problem isn't with the seed. The problem is where the seed falls. You know, those who follow Bill Johnson's ministry, there's a phrase that Bill says which I absolutely love. He says this, transform people, transform cities. Transform people, transform cities. But this is the deal, is that transformation, before it's ever going to happen here on the Gold Coast, before it's ever going to happen in this nation and in the nations of the world, transformation will not happen out there until it's first happened in here. Transformation begins with us. Actually, transformation, if we can take ownership of it, transformation begins with me. It says in Colossians chapter 1, actually, if you're still there, let's just read on a little bit more. It says in verse 9, it says, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So this passage we're going to read right now, there's a few key points that I just want to highlight, and I'm going to highlight them. We're going to keep moving. This is so important. You know, it says in Ephesians, it says, do not be unwise, but be wise and know the will of God. And for so long in the church, some of us have said things like, well, who can know the will of the Lord? Or, you know, it says things in the Bible, the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, about to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Or who can know the mind of God? But the Bible teaches that we have been given the mind of Christ. You see, God's will is that we would know His will. Did you realize it's not meant to be a mystery? That's why we can pray in boldness and in confidence, because we know Him and we understand His will. What verse? Someone shout out to me. What verse were we up to just now? Verse 9. Okay, verse 9. In case you can't tell, I've got this Bible very close to me. It's not. I gave my other one away fairly recently, and now I've got this little Bible, and the words are so tiny, I have to keep reading it. So if I pause a few times and try to find my place, bear with me, okay? It says here that you would understand His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. In verse 10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now, I don't know about you, but I want that for my life. I want that for your life, that we would walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. See, because it's in that place that we experience fruitfulness. Increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have received, in whom we have redemption rather, through His blood, the forgiveness of sin. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Now, that is so full, those last few verses. I'm going to try to do it justice, okay, in this short time. I don't know if it will help me, Jesus. But what's so important is this. I just want to start on that last verse. And I mentioned that this Monday night when we had the information night. But it says here, it says that Jesus is the visible image of the invisible God. Okay, that kind of phrase, that kind of idea, that concept is repeated time and time again in the New Testament. Why is it important? It is absolutely 100% vitally important for us not just to understand that, but to appropriate that and to receive that and to live that out in our life. Because we understand that when Jesus came, like this morning we had communion, he had the cup and he said, "This cup represents my blood of the what? The new covenant." It is vitally important for us to understand that we are new covenant Christians. Praise God for the old covenant. Praise God for the Mosaic covenant that He had with the Hebrew people. That was awesome. That served a time and a place and a purpose. But we have to understand that we are not new covenant Christians living in an old covenant world. And so much in the church we have lived like that, and we've interpreted God, actually rather misinterpreted God, through types and shadows, and instead of fully embracing Him through the fullness that comes through Christ. Philip said to Jesus in John 14, he said, "Show us the Father." His motive was pure, his heart was pure. He's like, "We just want to know who God is. We want to know what God's like. Would you please show us the Father?" And I suppose Philip maybe thought for a moment that Jesus would open up the heavens and he would have some open vision and see the Father. I don't know. But how many of us know Jesus' response? He said, "Philip, have I been with you for so long and yet you don't know me? He who has seen me has seen the Father also. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'?" Jesus was cut to the heart. He's like, he realized that Philip didn't get it. Jesus' message to Philip was this: "Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father also. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'?" What does he mean? He's saying, I, Jesus, not Joshua, Jesus Christ, is the full manifestation, the full revealing, the full revelation of who God is. So if you have a belief about God the Father that you cannot find in the life or the theology of Jesus Christ, then I would challenge you to reconsider what you believe about God. Jesus said, "You've heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth." Now, we know that the old covenant, that was the law. God gave that to Moses. And then Jesus quoted that and then said this, "But I tell you, do not resist an evil person." And then he goes on to say, you think that I'm here to destroy the law and the prophets. I haven't come to destroy the law and the prophets, but to fulfill them. So you can understand from their perspective that it's almost like Jesus is preaching against the law and the prophets. But he wasn't, because they misunderstood it. He came to show them that he actually fulfilled it. And he didn't just fulfill it for them, he also fulfilled it for us. We just read there in Colossians, I'll find the exact verse with my little Bible. It says here in verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partake. That was a bit of feedback there. Qualified us to be partakers of what? The inheritance of the saints in the light. I know it's a different translation. Don't worry. But see, this is so exciting because you see, it says in Galatians chapter 3, Paul rebukes the Galatians. He actually starts in verse 1 of 3. He says, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? In whose eyes was Christ Jesus not clearly portrayed?" He said, you started well and you understood that you received salvation by grace through faith. But now that you've received it, you think that it's by your own works that you can make stuff happen. And some of us as Christians, we love God, we have a pure heart, we've been born again, we're sons and daughters of God, but we still fall into this place of under pressure, under expectation, to tick the boxes, to make God happy, to do what we can. Even if you're wanting to receive something from the Lord, you might feel this pressure that you've got to do something, you've got to get to this place where you can receive. But the Bible says here that it wasn't us that qualified us to receive from God. It was God. Even in your worst day, even in your worst hour, when you're completely lost, completely deceived, the grace of God, I'm spitting at Terry Ann now, sorry. The grace of God was so sufficient to meet you in that place and bring you out of the darkness and bring you into light and transform you. And now as we're born again, this is the thing, is that the enemy wants us to get so distracted, so self-conscious, so religious maybe, that we get caught up in all this activity, all this stuff, and some of it seems like good Christian activities. And in our heart, we're trying to do stuff. We're trying to position ourselves, trying to maybe make God happy instead of just receiving. And realizing that there is nothing that we can do to save ourselves, to heal ourselves, to transform ourselves, or to transform the city. Guys, we can't do any of it. That was why just before Jesus left, he said, guys, I've given you everything. I've given you the keys to the kingdom, but don't go anywhere just yet. Because you can't do it, guys. Now, it might sound discouraging, but it's actually the most encouraging thing ever. Because I think if we were honest with ourselves, we would all look inside and go, yeah, I don't have what it takes. I can't do this. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It doesn't matter what you're facing, whether it's in your personal life, whether it's in your family. It doesn't matter if you look around the city or the world and think, man, there's so much work to be done. This is such a, you know, we live in such a hard place. Whatever it might be, don't look at life. Don't look at the city. Don't look at things according to the flesh. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5 that we don't even look at anyone. We don't consider anyone according to the flesh anymore. We don't even judge or consider anyone according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit of the Lord. And God wants us to so catch his heart that we begin to see life the way that he sees it. Because that's actually what revelation is. Did you realize that revelation is when what is real to God becomes real to you? When God opens your eyes, the eyes of your heart, you understand, and you begin to see reality the way that God sees reality. That's revelation. Because anything else isn't real. It's only what God sees and what God says that is true and what's real. Did you realize that? Like if the Bible said that the color of the sky is red, and we all look outside and unanimously decide, no, actually it's blue. Who would be right? God is right. He's so good. You know, we talk about revival in the church. And when we think about revival, we think about past moves of God and things that we hear, and you know, along the grapevine about moves of God around the earth, even right now. The truth is that revival isn't an event. Revival isn't a meeting. You can't just have a meeting and say, we're going to have revival meetings. Revival is actually a person. Revival is a person, and his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. And I know right now in the spirit that there's some of us here in this room, I actually feel there's a number of us who we've gone through the motions of our Christian life and we love the Lord Jesus. We love him, but we've allowed life, we've allowed circumstances maybe, we've even allowed sometimes even our own perception of our weaknesses and shortcomings. We've actually allowed those things to keep us out of a place of intimacy with him. Transform people, transform cities. And transformation can only come when we know him. Jesus said, when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in the secret place. He's already there. He's waiting for us. It's an amazing thing, this relationship with him. Because every single one of us, by our own choices, by our own actions, can choose to step into that place or choose not to. Has anyone here ever been so desperately hungry that you'd pretty much eat anything? Has anyone been that hungry before? I remember reading a story about John G. Lake one time. He was walking through the mountains somewhere going to visit his sister. And he was so tired and so hungry. He turned up at his sister's little cabin or cottage or whatever in the woods. And he walked inside. She wasn't there. And he smelt the smell of bread cooking. And he, oh my goodness me. I love the smell of bread, like toast. Elise and I are on a keto diet, so we haven't had regular bread for a long, long time. So we'll sit down and the boys might have some hot chips or something, and I just sit there and I'm like, oh, that looks like heaven. Those golden, crunchy, crispy chips. Wonderful.
Don't do it.
No, but the thing is when you're hungry, food, those things begin to really stand out to you and there's something inside of you that says, I need that. I need that to survive. The truth is that we're that hungry for Jesus. Are we that hungry for Jesus? We make jokes about, we do this anyway, about being hangry. Anyone heard that phrase, hangry? When you're so hungry that you start to get a little angry. It's like, I just need food right now. I don't want to talk anymore. Take me to the restaurant and take me home. I want to eat food. Can anyone relate to that? Do you realize that inside of every single one of us, our spirit is hungry? The truth is, though, is that some of us have learnt to feed our spirit on things that it wasn't supposed to eat. I want to see us get free. Because there's only one thing that would prevent us from meeting him in that secret place. And that one thing is us. I am the only one who is stopping me from entering into that secret place. You can't blame anyone else. You can't blame the devil. You can't blame life or circumstances. Jesus, knowing that he was going to be crucified, knowing that he was going to be betrayed by his best friends, went to the garden and prayed. Guys, I don't want to just do church. I don't want to just sing some songs. I want to be so filled with the Spirit of God. I want to be so transformed by the Spirit of God that everywhere I go, the Spirit of God goes too. I want us as a congregation, as a family, to be so hungry for Jesus, so filled with Jesus, that we begin to experience personal revival. Because we will never experience a corporate revival, we'll never experience corporate transformation until we first experience it in here. And we will never experience it in here until we first experience it in here. Because it's when you bring fire together, when you bring lots of little fires together, lots of little candles, whatever it is, when they're together that they make a big fire. And my prayer in my heart this morning is that no matter what we're facing, no matter what we've gone through, even no matter what we've struggled with, that we would not anymore, that today we would decide from this day forward, I will no longer allow circumstances, people, whatever it might be, to keep me out of the presence of the Lord. It says in Isaiah 40, there's actually this phrase here in that chapter that cut me to the core when God said, why do you spend your wages on that which doesn't satisfy? Come to me and eat. You see, people who don't know Jesus, if you don't know Jesus here this morning, then bear with me. But if you don't know Jesus, the only way you know how to get joy is through life, through drugs, drinking, TV, video games, whatever it might be. Hobbies, things that seem innocent. And you could be a believer, spirit-filled, born-again believer, your whole life, and you could spend your whole life just living for yourself and satisfying yourself on hobbies and everything else that everyone does who doesn't know Jesus. Guys, he's so amazing. Liz read this morning out of Psalm 16, it's 16, isn't it? Where it says that in his presence is fullness of joy. When I was, I'll say this, I'll make some of you folk, depending on your age, laugh. I was going to say, when I was a young man, when I was younger, I used to love video games. I think it was probably my generation kind of a thing. And I would get so hooked on video games. And that's what they're designed to do. That's what they're designed to do. And I remember one time getting this video game and God spoke to me so clearly, it totally convicted me. He said, Josh, he said, you know the joy that you think you're going to get from playing that game? You can only find that in me. And this is the reality, is that what we're really hungering for inside cannot be satisfied with going home and flipping the football on. It is not satisfied with having a few drinks with your mates and taking the edge off having a hard week at work. Guys, that's how the world thinks. Paul rebuked the church and said, guys, we've got to stop thinking like mere men. We're sons and daughters of the King of the universe, who nothing is impossible for. We will see this city come to Jesus. We will see this nation change. Why? Because God has already made a way. God has already made a way. And he's put his Spirit inside of us. And he said, now it's your move. And he's waiting on us. He's waiting on us. But it won't come, just like we heard this morning. It's not going to come by our effort. It's not going to come by our works. You can't try really hard to not sin and go, oh, now I'm walking in holiness because I tried so hard. It cannot come that way. It can only come when you meet him in the secret place and you receive his fullness. You receive his Spirit, his joy, his peace, his strength, whatever it is, when you receive it from him. But it's those things this morning that I'm going after, that I want to kind of go after. It's those things that keep us from going into that place. How many times when you pray, do you go to pray for something or pray for someone? I know a lot, probably everyone in this room could relate to this in some way, shape, or form. You've gone to pray for someone, and as you do, all of a sudden you become very self-conscious. And you think, oh, what am I going to pray? How am I going to make sure I say the right words? Oh, I didn't read my Bible this morning. I haven't read my Bible lately. You know, I did that sin yesterday, I said that, or I yelled at my whatever. And we start becoming, who can relate to that? We all can, can't we? Because the truth is that we were not designed to live self-conscious and God-conscious at the same time. In fact, it's impossible to be self-conscious and God-conscious. I want to share a couple of testimonies with you guys, if that's okay. Hey, we're making really good time. Wow. I feel like I've been preaching for 2 hours, but it's been 20 minutes or something. All this conversation about times this morning, I'm like, okay, Jesus, I've got to kind of squeeze this out and make it really quick, but it's okay. One time we're in the U.S., and we were passing through San Francisco, and actually we were, the next morning we were going to go up to Redding. I think it was, I don't remember what day it was, but we had one day in San Francisco passing through. Man, that city gets cold. Oh, good Lord, I thought San Francisco, California, nice and sunny, it's going to be like L.A., freezing. Middle of winter, having to buy like fleecy jackets and getting swept away. But this is something just real cool, a little testimony. We're getting out of a cab. We were in San Francisco, and we're just getting out of a cab real quick. And the cab driver, he was a Sikh. And I just asked him if he needed prayer for anything. I think I asked him if he had pain. Something I asked, a little, you can try this out. If you're in a taxi or a cab or an Uber, ask the driver, oh, how long have you been driving for? Oh, I've been driving for 10 years, whatever. You know, usually people who are truck drivers, cab drivers, because they sit down a lot, they usually have a lot of problems with their back. So I just ask people. You don't need a word of knowledge, you just need love. You just need Jesus. So I just said, you know, do you have any pain in your back or anything? And he said, yes, I do. And I think he had some kind of soft tissue damage in his ribs or something. It was a bit odd. Do you remember that, honey? I just prayed for him real quickly. And he was totally healed. He was so blown away, he didn't want us to get out of the cab. He's like, wait, I don't understand, this is amazing. And he said, I have so many cab driver friends who need healing, could you heal them as well? So we were in a rush, it was that afternoon, we were meant to be leaving the next morning. And so I said, here's my number, just call me. And we'll work out the details, because I'm trying to get out of the cab. So anyway, later that day he calls me, and he's told everyone. He's gone back to the, you know, the cab company, and he's like telling everyone, all these people, you need to come. And so he's trying to organize for me to meet each of these guys and pray for them. And I thought, this is going to be impossible. There's no way. It's like a Saturday afternoon. This is not going to happen. So I said to him, maybe it was Friday, he called me up. And I said, how about we do this? How about we meet in my hotel lobby at 10 o'clock tonight, and you bring whoever wants to come? So that happened. We actually had a church meeting in a little room in the hotel lobby. He brought about another six Indian cab drivers with him. And one by one, every single one of them got touched, healed. There was one man who had a major car accident and his body was just completely messed up. And he got gloriously healed. The Lord was giving me some pretty crazy words of knowledge. Like one man, I looked at him and I saw he had a son and a daughter. And I begin to tell him, I said, I see your daughter at home dancing. So she loves to dance all the time. And I can see you sitting at the breakfast table and you're trying to eat or you're trying to work. And she's dancing and trying to get your attention, but you're shushing her. Just stop it. Daddy's busy. Leave me alone. And God wants you to know that he sees that and he loves you. And he wants you to know that he's put that gift of dance in your daughter's life. And they're sitting there just crying like, what the heck? Now, it's not Josh Wood. It's Jesus inside of me. I could share so many testimonies. I don't say that arrogantly. I could share so many testimonies like that that God wants to bring us into. But this is the thing, is that I explained the gospel to all of them, and every single one of them said, yes, I want to follow Jesus. And I said, okay, now I want to elaborate on something. I said, this isn't about praying some prayer to get a blessing. This isn't about adding a statue of Jesus on a shelf in your house with your statues of Ganesh and whoever else. This is about realizing that without God, you've got nothing. You cannot save yourself. You cannot help yourself. And it's surrendering everything, giving up your life to Jesus and allowing his life to come inside of you. So I said, to follow Jesus will cost you everything. Now, in light of what I just said, this is what I said to them. Now, in light of what I just said, if you are unsure or if you've changed your mind, then I'll still love you just the same. But in light of what I just said, if you truly want to follow Jesus, then we're going to pray together right now, and I promise you, you'll never be the same again. And every one of them sat there for a minute and considered it, counted the cost, and everyone said, I hear what you're saying, I understand, I want to follow Jesus. I tell you what, for about 2 weeks after that, I had all of their wives calling me. Thank you so much, my husband, he's a different man, I don't know what's happened, it's amazing. Remember that, babe? That was amazing. And that was just getting out of a cab. I'll tell you another testimony as well. One time I was in a place in Arkansas called Van Buren. If anyone knows where that is, that's a long way from here. Van Buren, Arkansas. And I was at a hotel. I was actually at a conference, a Power and Love conference there. And I was at this hotel. I was by myself that morning for breakfast. And I was in the breakfast hall. And I'm there. You know, I go in, you know, in the breakfast hall, and you've got the waffle machines and the fruit and, you know, all that kind of stuff. If it's American breakfast hall, there'll be fresh sesame seed bagels and Philly cream cheese and waffle makers, all that good American breakfast food, that none of which I can eat at the moment. But anyway, see, I'm talking about, I must be hungry. That's what's going on. I keep talking about food. So I'm in this hall, and I see this man, this tall African-American chef in the breakfast room. And I just catch him. I corner my eye, and I get my breakfast, and I go sit down. And the waitress comes over, and she's talking to me and offering me coffee and whatever else. And it turns out her name's Destiny. And I'm talking with Destiny and just sharing Jesus with her. And it turned out that she used to walk with the Lord but didn't anymore. And so I begin to explain the gospel the best that I know how. And she got really touched. And so we have this amazing encounter. By now, everyone's left the breakfast room. And Destiny and I are praying together. She's getting really touched by the Lord. And then I'm about to go, and I remember that man. And I say to her, Destiny, the Lord just reminded me, I saw a man, a chef, one of the cooks in the breakfast room. And I described what he looked like. Do you know if he's still here? Because I really feel like Jesus wants to touch him. I don't know what's going on, but I feel like God wants to do something in his life. And so she tells me that his name's Will. And she said, that's so funny that you should say that, because Will really hasn't been himself for a little while now. He's usually really bubbly, really happy, but for a while now he's been really quiet, and it's been getting worse. And I've actually been wondering what's going on in his life. So anyway, so I wait for her in the little breakfast room surrounded by the bagels and the waffles and the Philly cream cheese and all that kind of stuff. She goes out into the kitchen to get Will and comes back in with Will. Because she thought that he had left. She said, oh, normally the staff, kitchen staff would have left by now, but I'll go see. Anyway, he was still there. So she brings Will back in into the room, and I just talk to her, just being me. It's not really hard. You don't have to have some spiel or anything that you've got to read out. You just love people. Just be a real person. Be genuine. And I just said, hey, Will, this might sound really crazy, and I just explained it. I said, but I really believe that God wants to do something in your life. And I was about to leave, and he reminded me, and he got really quiet. He kind of looked down at the floor, down at his feet. I said, what's going on, Will? And then he began to tell me, and Destiny and I, about this problem that he had with his back. Now, I can't remember what it was exactly, but he had some kind of debilitating thing going on with his back, and I think maybe his hips or something. And so I said, this is going to be amazing. Jesus is going to touch you. It's going to be wonderful. And I was about to pray for him, and the Lord stopped me. You know what the Lord said to me? He said, Josh, I want Destiny to pray for Will. So I turned to Destiny. We're the only ones here. I turned to Destiny, and I tell her. I said, you know what the Lord's saying to me right now? There's no pressure, no expectation, but if you want to, you're going to see God do some amazing things through you. And she became so self-conscious. She took a step back, and she's like, who, me? No, I can't this and that, da-da-da-da-da. See how we do that? That's the place of disability that the enemy wants us to stay in. And I said, Destiny. Because up until 5 minutes ago, she was backslidden. I said, Destiny, do you believe in Jesus? She said, yes, I do. I'm going to cry. I said, then you qualify. Because Jesus said, these signs shall follow those who believe. So with tears, fear and trembling, Destiny puts a hand on Will's back, a man who she's worked with for many years, a man who she's never shared her Christian faith with. And she prays for Will, just a real simple prayer, real self-conscious prayer even. And then I say to Will, "How's your back feel, Will?" And he's bending like this and reaches down, touches his toes, and he is bawling. I said, "What's going on?" He's like, "There's no pain." And he's just crying and crying. Destiny's crying. I'm crying. And it gets worse because he turns to Destiny. This is the part that cuts you deep. It's when you're in these situations that marks you forever. He said, "Destiny," said, "I've been working with you all these years. Why haven't you done this for me before?" Guys, we have what the world needs. And he was crying really hard. I said to him, "This gets better," because I said, "Will," I said, "you are crying way too much for this just to be about your back. What's going on?" And then he begins to tell us that he split up with his wife a few months prior, and his wife just one day basically just up and left him, and he has a few little kids at home, and he's been struggling to make ends meet, to look after his children, and he's completely burnt out, worn out. He's had enough and he can't do it anymore. And he said, "The reason why I haven't left work yet is because I just went to see my manager because I just asked him if I could have tomorrow off work." And he's crying as he's telling me this. He says, "But the reason why I wanted to have tomorrow off work was because I was going to kill myself." And he's bawling his eyes out. He's a man just working in the kitchen of a restaurant, hurting on the inside. With no hope left. Guys, we have what this world needs. It gets awoken in the secret place. It gets supercharged in the secret place. We can do this. But it starts here. So I'm going to open up for a time of prayer now, but I want to put this challenge out to you because I'm challenging myself with this. Do you want to know Jesus this side of eternity? Or are you just satisfied coming here on Sunday and just living like everyone else? Or do you want to know Jesus? I want to know him. I want to know him, and I want to be filled with all of his fullness so that he can get his full reward. Because there's a day coming, I'm telling you, when we are going to be here and we're going to be dancing and shouting and celebrating the goodness of God in this place and in this city. That's not going to happen without us. It's not going to happen unless we are a part of that equation. And we can only be a part of that equation when we're filled with him. So I'm just going to pray right now, and I want to open up the altar. You know, we sing that song, "Come to the Altar," and I don't know if any musos or anyone could maybe even sing that song now, if that's all right. Even if it's just one person. But this is what I want you to do, is I want you to count the cost with me this morning. Because it actually does cost you everything to follow Jesus. But when you look at the everything and you see what it really was, just like the Apostle Paul, you go, it's actually all rubbish. None of this means anything if I don't have this. And the opposite can seem true, as if you don't have this, then everything this way seems important, like it can bless you or add to you. So my challenge for myself and for us as a church community, let's draw near to Him. Not that we have to, not that we've got to push into some place, but we literally step into that secret place. That's all it is. He's already there. He's already waiting for us. We just have to decide, am I going to seek God? Am I going to know God? Because I tell you that if you do, you're going to see transformation in your own life. You're going to see the fruit of the Holy Spirit flow forth more from your own life. And then imagine as we come together as a community and every one of us is burning with Jesus. We've been meeting Jesus in that secret place and getting filled with Him. And then we come together. That's what's going to change the city. Thank you, Father. I'm just going to pray. And if we could have some music, that'd be amazing. Even if we just put something on, that's okay. But if you, the first call I'm going to make is that I don't want anyone to come forward lightly, okay? Someone said to Jesus, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. He said, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay His head. But when we follow Him, we get to lay our head on His heart. It's amazing. So if you want to this morning consider the cost, and if you say in your heart, you know what? Man, I have been living half-hearted. I want to follow Jesus. I don't want to just follow Him, but I want to know Him. Then I want to invite you now just to come down the front. Come down the front right now and open up your heart to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So we're just going to stay in this place for about 5 minutes, and then I'm just going to open up for those who want prayer, prayer ministry. The Lord is here with a gift of prophecy, with a gift of healing. So if you need ministry this morning, don't go anywhere. We want to pray for you. We want to bless you. But now is a special time. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we love you. What a joy. What a privilege, Jesus, it is to know you and to follow you. And Lord, right now, I surrender to you. And Father, if in any way, Lord, I have allowed myself to be distracted, Lord, I repent, Lord, I am sorry. Please forgive me, Father. Lord, thank you for drawing us into that secret place. Lord, we want to know you. We want to know you. We want to know you. We want to know you, Lord. And we want to be filled with all of your fullness. So, Lord, those who want to yield right now with me, Lord, we yield together to you, Holy Spirit. And we pray, Lord, that you would have your way. Lord, you are the King here. You are the Lord. So, Lord, we just surrender ourselves to you. We want to know you, Jesus. I pray, Lord, that your grace would be so released here this morning. That those who have stepped forward, those who have in their heart even have said, that's it, I want to know you. That's it, I'm going to run this race. I'm not going to let life or people or circumstances hold me back. I'm going to know Him. Lord, whoever that is with me this morning, right now, who agrees with me in heart, we say, yes, Jesus, let it be so. Set us on fire with your love. Meet us here in the secret place, Lord. We're here, Lord, because we want to know you, Jesus. Thank you.